Is the NZX50 a bad investment? So before you get triggered, let me explain why. It's not necessarily bad, but it's not the best. Let me explain why. So first concept is home bias. Home bias is effectively we naturally gravitate towards things we understand and know. And one of those things that we understand and know in investing is our own country. So naturally, we're going to invest in indexes or funds that are here in our country. And you also feel like you can contributing, you feel a part of it, you understand the economic environment, you understand the regulation, and you feel a little bit more comfortable because, you know, you can walk in, knock on the door, and you're like, hey, I'm invested in this. Ah, yeah, Fisher & Paykel. I feel confident. I know them. I own their fridge. But there was a study that was done that would suggest that motivation is more emotional than it is logical, and that study was done by Dimensional Funds, which is a long-standing private manager of money, and they're more passive than they are active, but they do have a sprinkle of active. So they are a big proponent of index funds. Now, what they found in the report that I'll leave in the description, and it's called The Randomness of Global Equities, they compared the developing world, they compared the emerging market. So the developing world, you might think of, you know, the UK, US. The emerging markets are effectively, you know, like Turkey or Thailand. They're getting up there. They're still important, but they're just not at that development world. So what they found is there was no consistent winner. So Denmark did well. New Zealand did well. You know, US did well for a period of time. But to be able to consistently outperform the total world index, they didn't do that well. There was no consistent winner, and it was completely random on when that might happen. Maybe in hindsight, you could have been like, oh, because of that, that's why they did well. But it's hard to predict the future, and fortune telling is universally accepted as bullshit, except when it comes to finance and economics. So check out their report. It suggests that you're better to own a diversified index that's across nations and isn't just in one single nation. Now, the second reason is the NZX50 is actually overweighted with certain companies. So as of making this video, Fisher & Paykel, their weighting in the NZX50 is about 12.87%, which is a lot to have one company to have that much impact on the market. Because you think about it, Fisher & Paykel has some mistakes, has some challenges, maybe there's supply chain issues, maybe they can't reach the customers in the way that they want, maybe some branding issues, maybe there's some fundamental leadership issues, and that has a big overarching impact on the index. And what if they were to go to nothing, which does happen with well-established brands? It's not to say it will happen to them. Then you're essentially crystallizing a 12.87% loss, because what you'll do is you sell your position and it'll rebalance, and then it'll buy the new leader within the NZX50. So that's a concern, that because New Zealand is small, because the index funds weighted proportionally to their market capitalization, then you're getting yourself in a position where you're quite dependent on Fisher & Paykel and their success. Now, the other thing you want to think about is the comparative liquidity of NZX50. So when you think of liquidity, just think of it as, what is the sellability of the asset that I have? How big is the market? Because if I'm trying to sell shares on an island and there's no one there, what are they actually worth? Because you can't sell them. Good thing about NZX is, sure, the NZX50 has quite a substantial amount of liquidity. It's a good investment in that sense, because you're like, okay, I can find someone that I can sell this to. It's on an exchange. It ticks those boxes. But comparative to the global liquidity, it could get a little bit challenging when someone freaks out, a whole big market correction, and everyone's trying to get out the door at the same time. Then you might have a bit of variation between when you're trying to sell and when you're actually able to sell. But it's just something to be mindful. It's got liquidity, it has enough liquidity where it's good because it's listed, it's on exchange, but not quite to the level of what you might get when you have like a world index and it's traded significantly in larger portions than you might in the small economy here in New Zealand. The other thing with the NZX50 in New Zealand is, quite often there's a limit on the growth that a company can achieve because the economy is so small, and then they expand beyond New Zealand and they face a little bit of challenges, a little bit of hurdles, because New Zealand's a unique market. How they incentivize shareholders in this sort of instance is they pay out dividends. So if you have a market growth limit, then why not just pay your shareholders some of the profit that you're achieving? So there's some concerns around that. It's not a major one, But the final piece that is actually quite good about the NZX50 is it's better than investing directly into companies. Sure, you might have Fisher & Paykel that are a large proportion of the NZX50, but at least you're diversified enough where it's less risky than if you invested directly into one company like Tesla, where you're like, oh yeah, it's going to the moon. I like Elon Musk. I know that Tesla isn't just a car company. It's actually an AI company. And what they do is really quite remarkable, and they're miles ahead of the competition in that regard. But once again, it's a speculation. You're putting all your eggs in one basket, and potentially you drop the basket, and it's not too pretty. So, in summary, NZX50 has some level of liquidity, but could be better. There's a limit on the growth that companies can achieve in New Zealand, so they might have to go out of it. So that could be a little bit challenging when they approach a new market. There's the home bias. It's hard to tell if there's a consistent winner over the long run. Doesn't appear so when you look at the report in the description. And then the final piece was around Fisher & Paykel being quite a large portion of your investment. So that was valuable. So hit the subscribe button, give us a review, and thank you for your time.